Blog Talk Radio.
This show is sponsored by CoventryCreations.com.
Everyone, and welcome to Keep It Magic. My name is Jackie Smith, and I'm here with my co-host, Storm Sestavani, and we have an exciting, compelling, introspective show for you today. There's many other adjectives I could use, and we'll use more of them at the end of the show and see if you agree. So pick up the phone and give us a call. The number is 760-539-3235. And make sure to check out our sponsor, my favorite company in the world, CoventryCreations.com. If you have a problem in your life, whether that's love, romance, money, career, or health, we have a candle for that, or incense, or oil. To reach Storm off the air, you can go to PsychicFriendsNow.com or like his fan page on Facebook at Facebook.com/AstroGossip. To reach me off the air, you can go to CoventryCreations.com. Feel free to book a reading at any time. And you can also go to my fan page on Facebook, which is Jackie Smith, Jackie with an I, and you can find me in Ferndale, Michigan. Or you can check out our website for the show. It's located at KeepItMagic.com. And, of course, the show would not be complete if it didn't have its own Facebook fan page, and that's Keep In It Magic on Facebook. Hey, Storm.
Hey, what's up?
How was your weekend, by the way?
Oh, it was great, great. Did a lot of studying, had a, you know, it was just a normal, casual weekend.
You kind of opened the door to some new information for yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll be talking more about that later in the show. We don't want to break it up now. I mean,
yeah, exactly. We have to, you know, keep people. We have to leave them with a carrot, you know, or a donut, you know.
Well, if you leave with a donut, then you get nothing but the hole. But
yeah.
This weekend I spent a lot of time prepping for doing the first stages of prepping for our 20-year anniversary at Coventry Creations. I did a lot of images. It says 20 years of magic, which then brings it home. It's kind of like watching your kid graduate from high school.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, 20 years? And I, you know, of course I don't feel that old. And you know, the other thing it makes me think is whenever you know, hit those mile markers, you think, well, where am I? What have I done? What have I screwed up? Where should I be? I should be somewhere else. And then of course, I have to take a new path and go, all right, there's no shoulds allowed. You know, I have to look at, say, hey, where am I? And how did I get here? And thank God I'm still here.
Yeah, exactly.
<'Cause>, you know, I've been really hard on myself. I've been really hard saying, well, why aren't I, you know, a bigger company? Why don't more people know about the products? Why don't I have, you know, why don't my employees make more money? How come I don't have a McMansion? I've talked about this on the show before, and it's just, it's a journey. And I have to say, throughout all of that, sometimes it makes you panic a little when you look at these mile markers, or whether it's a time frame, or maybe it's that you, maybe it's not time, maybe it's a thing. And when you look at yourself, it's really hard not to get down on yourself and make weird decisions out of panic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, which then brings us to our topic for the show, which is, it's easy when you are judging yourself to then step into a place of sabotaging yourself.
Yeah, very easy. You know, this is a milestone. 2012 is a milestone year for me as well, because when we get to September, I will have been doing readings for 25 years professionally.
Wow.
Would
you start when you were 4?
I wish I was that young.
He was a reading prodigy. At 3, before he could talk, he could point them out.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you were talking at 3. Apologize.
Yeah, I was talking at 3. But, you know, one of the things that I think that is a natural occurrence when we hit milestone years is that we start to question, like you said, who am I? Why am I here? What is my purpose? You know, is this what I want to continue doing? I think that it is a normal introspective type of time.
It is. Because, and I feel I will probably be doing this all year, so our listeners will just have to bear with us as we get more introspective.
Yeah.
As we get closer and closer to the 20-year anniversary. It's going to be August is our 20-year anniversary. And so we're going to have some shindig stuff going on over at Coventry in Ferndale, Michigan. It'll be fun, and we're doing press releases. And
August is a huge month for us.
It really is. It really is, because both of our birthdays are in August, right?
Yeah.
And then Coventry's birthday is in August, which kind of is why Coventry's birthday is in August.
We may be on summer hiatus, so 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, it's also in August because that's when I took it seriously and turned it into a business in 1992, and went to Seattle and sold my first candles outside of the area. And I have to remember to be kind to myself and generous to myself in the way of saying, this is going to be tough. This is going to be tough, and it's going to be, and I'm going to have to face some more hard truths, you know, because it's that milestone, and because it's kind of, it's a transition point. You say, you make those decisions again. Am I continuing to do this? You know, what am I going to do here?
Yeah, I agree, and I know when, you know, I'm always constantly looking for new things, because, you know, when you're continuing to, you know, especially as a reader, if you're continuing to do, you know, the same stuff after a while, it just gets kind of boring. So I'm definitely, you know, always adding something new to, you know, whether it's studying or insight into people or, you know, new metaphysical tools, whatever, to add to my toolkit to give my clients more information, you know, when they contact me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I understand what you mean completely by that.
And it's so funny. I was doing readings, and then I kind of went away from readings and into healing work. And then I blended the two of them after a while because I got into healing work because I would do readings and I couldn't answer that question. I would see it. I would see it intuitively. I would see it energetically. But then I would be stymied. I'm like, I have no idea how to do this. So, and I realized after I started learning the healing techniques that I actually did know how to do it. It was very intuitive. And then it gave me the courage just to continue with what I'm hearing and seeing.
Yeah.
And, and just keep rolling from there, but and using all the tools together. But, you know, it's funny this morning having this discussion with a bunch of ladies this morning, and then a couple of women said, so who made a resolution for New Year's? And no one in this group of women that I had breakfast with did. And I thought that was hilarious, especially because we're doing the show on, you know, when your New Year's resolution fails.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, you guys, why did you not make a New Year's resolution? And I should say the gal. And it was 10 women sitting around the table having coffee and breakfast. And they all echoed the same thing, which was, that's a waste of time. It's useless. You're setting yourself up for failure to do a resolution.
Mm-hmm.
The one gal did say she had set some goals with her daughter. They didn't consider it a resolution. They had decided to a while ago, and they were ramping up for it and decided this was a nice marker in time to do it. But they all felt the same way. It's stuff that you and I have talked about, that resolutions just open the door for you to sabotage yourself.
Absolutely.
Or for sabotage to kind of come in, too, because you challenge yourself. And you have a great way of explaining that through the Kabbalah.
Well, first of all, one of the things with Kabbalah that we don't do is that we don't cast vows, meaning we stay away from promising to do something. The reason, you know, for the most part, in certain circumstances, you know, you're kind of pushed into the corner in which you're kind of forced into doing it. But for the most part, you don't cast vows. And the reason being is that the moment that you cast a vow, you cast the Satan.
Okay. Now, what is the casting a vow to you? Like, I'm going to do this, or saying, I'm going to lose 40 pounds, or
I'm going
to make a million
bucks. I'm
going to
lose 40 pounds. You know, I'm going to have a very, very firmly scheduled life this year. I'm going to do nothing but eat healthy foods. You know, usually a vow is something in which our natural capacity is going to be to fail at it in some particular way. Or, you know, like, I'm going to read 20 books this year, you know, and the next thing you know is that you haven't had time to read one.
Right, okay.
You know, things like that.
Is casting a vow the same as setting a goal?
No.
Okay. So setting a goal is I would like to read 20 books, or setting a goal is I've got a goal of 20 books to read.
Yes.
Okay. Which I don't understand that as a goal, because I do that in like a month.
Yeah, me too. I can cast a book goal. You know,
so,
my goal would be, you know, that I'm only going to read 10 books this month.
So what do you think, I'm going to limit. What do you think the difference between a vow and a goal is?
I think that a vow is you are already receiving the particular light for it instantaneously. You know, the moment that you make a vow, like, I'm going to lose, 50 pounds this year, if you state that, you already, you know, you start getting the exercise equipment and the videotapes and the gym membership, and you're getting all of the light for that at that particular moment, okay? So when you go and you actually do it, you don't get any fulfillment out of it, that there's no light for it. So basically, exactly. You know, there's the tendency, you know, in our the back of our head is, this is useless, this is futile. You know, the Satan just strikes back.
Okay, so the vow is you get all the energy, you get that rush, you get that adrenaline rush in the moment.
Yes.
But and then there's nothing left over for the follow-through.
Exactly.
Okay. And a goal is belaying that.
More trajectory, yeah.
And saying, I'm going to, as I achieve these goals, that's when that adrenaline, that light is going to come in. Correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Now, you explained it to me in a brilliant way, the difference between the light that comes in and then the Satan.
Well, first,
the rest of the world, we pronounce it Satan.
Yes.
But
here is the thing, and you go back to the beginning, the way beginning, even before Adam and Eve, and basically that there was the light, and then the light had to share itself with something, so it created a vessel. And the vessel, basically, that's all that happened is that the light would give light, and the vessel would receive. And sooner or later, the vessel develops what is called bread of shame. In other words, it was doing nothing to create its own fulfillment.
Okay.
So at the moment that it realized it wasn't doing anything to create its own fulfillment, okay, and it wanted to share with the light, okay, in some way, which the light doesn't have the capacity to receive. So basically what happened is that the vessel shattered into a bazillion people, which is how they basically say that we as human beings came into being. Now, with that, basically, we have a particular circumstance inside of us that is created called the opponent or the Satan. Now, what the opponent is that it's the fundamental side of us that does two different things, okay? Number one, it gives us the desire to receive, okay? So we're going to receive. But the Satan likes to receive for the self alone, in other words, for ourselves. And basically, in order to get to the middle, we also have to begin to become like the light and begin to share what it is that we've received, okay? So basically, what the Satan is going to do over and over and over is keep you in that mentality of for the self alone, for the self alone, for the self alone, for the self alone. And an easy way that you can tell whether or not that it is the Satan, okay? And I'm going to give you the brilliant formula for it, and it's going to be so simple that, you know, it's just going to baffle your brain.
Mm-hmm.
If your reason for doing something has a particular agenda behind it, in other words, I'm going to lose 50 pounds. Why are you going to lose 50 pounds? Because my husband may love me more.
Okay, so
even though that you're wanting to receive that love from your husband, it's not because you want to love your husband anymore. It's because you want that love. It's for the self alone.
So, if your reason,
yes,
if your vow, so to speak, has an agenda,
yes,
whatever that is. Like, for instance, if I say I'm going to be a better mom this year because I'm going to run for office. And it'll look better for me.
That would be a Satan, yeah.
And or even if that's those hidden agendas. I talk about it all the time. And when I do healing work with people, we kind of bring out those hidden agendas or those contracts. Sometimes we call them contracts or thought forms. We have a couple of different names for those. But it's really interesting and how. I've also seen other people's hidden agendas or Satans get infused upon somebody else, especially parent to child.
Let me give you a classic example because I probably get this 4 to 5 times a day. Somebody is getting a reading from me and that they will say, I'm not going to contact old Joe or old Jill. Because I want him to contact me, or should I contact him, or questions of that particular nature. If your purpose for contacting somebody has an agenda behind it, in other words, you want them to respond a certain way, or, you know, as you're thinking about it, you have the whole Melrose Place going on in your head of how he's going to respond and all this other stuff. Basically, that's where the Satan is coming in.
Okay. It's true, though. It's true that it's you know, we experience it as readers and as healers all the time, that people want to negotiate.
Yeah.
That, you know, they want to, I don't know if negotiate is the right word. I'm looking for a better word for that. But that I just want him to call me. What do I need to do to get him to call me? They want to manipulate the situation.
Yeah.
To their own end.
And I'm sure that you see this in regards to people that want candle magic done.
Absolutely.
What would be the purpose for burning a come-to-me candle? Is the purpose to work on the relationship once it comes back? Or is the purpose just to have them back?
Yes, and that is a conversation that I usually have with clients, and they say, well, I want this man, blah, blah, blah. And it's usually women wanting this man, 90% of the time, and because they, and then my question is, why do you want this man? If he is not here with you right now, what purpose does it serve? What does it fulfill? And usually it's those questions, that agenda that I'm looking for from them, and it really makes a difference when I'm talking to them. And sometimes it's the, you know, I don't know if you want that man. I think at this point he is going to be repelled by how much you're pulling on him. And sometimes I trick him a little. I trick him a little and say, the more secure you are in yourself, the more you don't need him because you understand that you are your own source of love. The more interested he's going to be, or he's going to go away and someone even better is going to be interested.
Yeah.
And sometimes I, you know, feel a little bad about that, but it's really, I guess it's not really tricking him, it's just getting right to the core of it and telling him the truth.
Yeah, I think that the trickiest part about the Satan is that 95%, I think, Jackie, of what it is that we do has some form of an agenda behind it. You know, that's why we have to be very, very clear about what is the reasons why we're doing things. And I will be the first one to wave my hand that says that, you know, I am part of the 95%.
Right.
And all, you know, I am not immune. You know, just because I have a little bit of knowledge, I am not immune. The only thing that having a little bit of knowledge does is sometimes make you more painfully aware that you are doing it.
You know, with that whole agenda situation, again, when I'm teaching a class, I say, okay, so you have an agenda. Bring it out into the light.
Yeah.
If your agenda is, and that's the why is that. The why is that, find your agenda, what it is you really want.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what that is, in the Coventry Magic book, I talk about, there's an exercise in there, which is the why is that spread or the why is that exercise. Because what you think you want is probably not what you want. It's a couple layers deeper when you find that agenda. So when you finally get that underlying story, that underlying need, that underlying agenda, let's say it is that you want your husband to show more affection to you, so you're going to work on losing 50 pounds, what you might find is that if you have a conversation with him and find out what the situation is and connect with him on a human level,
yeah,
or heart-to-heart level, you might find that he reads you, understands he needs to be more affectionate to you, to show his love to you more, and then the weight starts just falling off because you don't need that layer of protection.
Oftentimes what I also find, Jackie, is that we often project our own Satan onto other people. And, for example, if we want to lose 50 pounds because we think that our husband is going to be more attracted to us, mm-hmm, or whatever the particular reasons, to feel to get something out of somebody else, basically.
Right.
Oftentimes, you know, maybe your husband isn't making love to you enough, or you feel as though that your husband finds you repulsive. Most of the time, Jackie, it is because you're sending out the particular energy of repulsion. You're repulsed by yourself, so that doesn't make you any more attractive to your husband either.
Amen. It is so true. because you end up with an agreement with your Satan. Here's a lie that I believe in my life that's based on some fear that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And that fear is based on some past experience, whether it's in this lifetime or the past. You know, so those fears, at first, they become protection. They become, don't run out into the street, you might get hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're not balanced, when that information is not balanced, then you never cross the street, because at some point in some life, in some hour, there might be a car that crosses your path, so you can never risk it. So that's when, you know, that's the Satan, I think, kind of grabs those fears and then turns them into your reality.
Mm-hmm.
And you said to me when we were talking about the show, you said that the Satan is the opponent inside of us,
mm-hmm.
that forces us to grow.
Yes.
And it's from experiencing our experiences with the Satan that it tricks us into growing. And I have to ask you, and I know we're coming up on our break time, so maybe we go to break and you answer that question for us. How in the world can this sabotaging behavior trick us into growing when what it does is it just wants to put us back?
Because we're constantly faced with having to deal with particular issues. Even if you've been spiritual for 20 years or 30 years or your whole life or whatever, one of the things that I have learned this past year, and it has been about, I think no matter what type of spiritual system that you belong to, I think that you can become, quote-unquote, very religious with it. Whether you're Wiccan, whether you're Catholic, whether you're a Kabbalist, whether you're a ufologist, you know, no matter what, you can become very religious with what it is that you're thinking. And when you're getting into that religious mentality is when you start beating yourself in the head. And one of the things that I learned this year, Jackie, is new level, new devil.
Interesting.
New level. The moment that you start to move to that next level, the whole new devil you're dealing with.
So let's go to break, and
yeah.
Let's talk about this a little bit more.
Sure.
So do not go anywhere. We're going to take a break right now. Check out our sponsor at CoventryCreations.com. And give us a call at 760-539-3235. If you want to weigh in on this, if you want to talk about your own self-sabotage or your own personal agenda or your own personal Satan, give us a call. Let's talk about it. Again, the phone number is 760-539-3235.
It's my time. It's my life. I can do what I like. For the price of a smile, I gotta take it to ride. So I keep living, 'cause it feels right. And it's so nice. And I'll do it all again. I like how it feels. I like how it feels. I like how it feels. As one, let's make a beautiful world. Take my hand, it's alright, 'cause tonight we can fly. So we keep living, 'cause it feels right. And it's so nice. And I'll do it all again. This time it's forever. It gets better. And I like how it feels. I like how it feels. I like how it feels. I like how it feels.
I like how it feels. So just turn it off, let me best. I consider mediocre. I want my bank accounts like Carlos Slims or at least a mini Oprah. Baby, just close your eyes and imagine any part in the world. I've been there. I'm like global warming. They think I just started heating things up, but I've been here. Time travel through time zone. Give me some of my vodka and it's on. Enrique Iglesias in translation. Enrique Church's confession on. Dale, mamita, dímelo todo. Adelante tu hombre, yo me hago el bobo. No te preocupes, baby, for real. Because you gon' like how it feels.
Cause I like how it feels.
Welcome back to Keep It Magic. I am Jackie Smith, and I'm here with my amazing co-host, Storm Sestavani. Give us the call. The number is 760-539-3235, and we would love for you to weigh in our conversation today or even ask your own questions or get a little help on what your sabotaging challenge is. And by the way, if you want to drop us a line after the show or ask us an additional question after the show, you can hit us up on Facebook on Keeping It Magic on Facebook, or you can find Storm on Facebook at Astro Gossip, or you can email us at keepitmagic@gmail.com. So we want to hear from you. And if you have questions, we might even answer them. So we are in an awesome discussion right now, which is using the sabotaging behavior to grow, to trick yourself into growing. And how the heck do you do that? Because usually it does the opposite for me. It makes me give up.
Yeah, but the thing here is that you can use, when you give up, Jackie, you can ask yourself a lot of questions as to why you're giving up and get to the root or the seed level of whatever that particular problem is. If your problem, you know, I had a friend of mine who used to at one time weigh several hundred pounds, and she instantaneously, she went on something, I think Jenny Craig or something, and she went down to like 120-something.
Mm-hmm.
She had four more kids after that and gained it all back, but I ain't going to go there. But when she went down to the 120 pounds, she did not know how to live in that body. And what I noticed, I mean, she lost her marriage, she lost all of these particular things that she had value for because of the fact that she was not able to handle that particular huge change in regards to her life because she wasn't ready to deal with that particular satan.
Okay, that's that new level, new devil.
New level, new devil, yeah.
So that's so interesting because I love how we compare our systems that we work with. Now, for me, I've done that. I've been the girl who lost a lot of weight. I've been the girl who's lost 60 pounds or went on Nutrisystem and did the whole thing and did the deprivation. And your body can do nothing but lose weight at that point. And then once I got to that weight, my life falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done a lot of work around that, and I have a lot of fears around that, too, because the several times when I've lost a lot of weight, and I'm 260, I'll say it, you know, it's okay. I love who I am. I love my body in every form. And of course, I want to fit into the airplane seats just a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to be able to touch my toes and still breathe at the same time. Those are my little goals. So when I have lost a bunch of weight, my life has fallen apart. And I think part of it, there's a couple of things that are going on, but I never really thought about it being a new level, new devil, because you're right. You have to address a lot of times, like, for instance, weight. That hides and masks certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So when that's not there as the mask, as the layer of protection, you then have to deal with this thing in front of you. And then you either deal with it or you put the weight back on.
Okay. An example that I will give you in regards to my friend is that when she went from, I think she weighed like 380 or something, and went down to 120, is that at 120 pounds, a lot of men started giving her a lot of attention and started finding her very attractive at that particular point. And she was not able to handle that in the right way. And like I said, it ended up destroying her marriage. And I think that oftentimes when we do something for the wrong reasons or we do something with an agenda behind it, that we're not doing it for the particular right reasons or that we didn't really bottom out on something or we're doing things to, you know, to change for other people.
Right.
I think that oftentimes, you know, it is why, you know, you will see people that are forced to go off of drugs for whatever reasons, that they oftentimes end up relapsing relatively quickly because of the fact that their reasons for getting off the drugs wasn't for them, it was for other people.
True. Absolutely. So whatever you do, it has to be for yourself. And I mean, I've done the, my life was so stressed, I got sick and lost weight because I just couldn't, my stomach couldn't handle any food. And then as soon as I started taking care of myself and paying attention to who I am, I realized how many toxic people were in my life. And so I just started, I had to make those changes because it became more painful to stay in the situation than not.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's, you know, one way it happened. Another way it happened, I did a lot of personal work along the road, but really I ended up running a weight loss group. So I was doing it for everybody in the group, and once that group fell apart and I didn't want to deal with it anymore, I started putting the weight right back on.
Yeah.
So, and then another time that I did that, lost the weight, it was too emotional for me.
Yeah.
I got really emotional using that Satan energy, that sabotaging energy to then trick yourself into growing is to then question it.
It is to question it. And you know, the other thing that I think that you need around you, which, you know, I'm very, very grateful and lucky for, you know, the particular support system that I have around me. Like, for example, last week, you know, when I did my pre-interview with Patty and I told her that I wanted to talk about being a victim of sexual abuse, you know, one of the things that Patty said to me immediately is, Storm, make sure that you're doing this for you and you're not doing it for other people.
And did you notice that when you answered that question for yourself,
yes,
then the results were healing?
Yes, yes.
So that's brilliant right there.
Because the Satan will trick us into thinking that the end result of something is actually going to be much worse than what it is.
Yes. Well, that's that lies. I talk about how we lie to ourselves all the time. And in the book, in Coventry Magic, I have the Why Is That spread.
Yeah.
And which kind of gets you to what the real reason is. And then as I was writing the book, I said, okay, now what the hell do I do with this?
And then, new level, new devil.
Right. So what I did is I came up with the 7 steps to creating core change in your life, personal evolution, which kind of helps peel away those layers of the Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was inspired by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and her 5 stages of dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize that really we do that. We grieve over so much in our lives. And that sabotage kind of goes along with that grief. And so I said, okay, we know how to die.
Mm-hmm.
We have someone who has their doctorate on dying here that's taught us how to die. How do you live?
Yeah, exactly.
So I have these 7 steps that are in the book, and I actually use them all the time when I get really stuck, and I am really stuck right now. I have I do not like the way I feel right now personally. I'm very achy. I went through the holidays and I ate way too much, and I don't like, you know, having to hold my breath while I tie my shoes, because, you know, the whole thing.
We're also under the energy of Capricorn, which is very, very heavy.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
So I used to feel way more energetic. and I want that again. So in doing that and looking at the seven steps for myself and thinking about, you know, other people, how it would translate out, as I have the seven steps to ending personal sabotage. And I'm not saying do it once and you're good. This is just something that you can go through again and again. And I'll run quickly through the seven steps, and then we'll go through them a little more in depth as we go. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number one, get comfortable in your own skin. Get into the here and now, which is loving who you are right now. Number two is you have to let go of limiting beliefs and forgive yourself of your past mistakes. Number three is clear negative patterns and cleanse them as you go, because if you don't clear those negative beliefs, they just get ground right back into the carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, write your own ticket. You imagine the ideal situation, you got to write it out. If you don't know where you're going, you're never going to get there. Number five is clear your path and move forward into manifesting your ideal, because the minute you start clearing those negative beliefs, clearing those patterns, understanding where you're going, there's the satan inside you and the people around you are not going to like that. You're breaking the agreement that they have with you of how things are going to work. So you got to start clearing those out. Those will come up. Number six is being open to receive, emptying out all the fear and filling it with your ideal. And then number seven is actualizing it. And that is something that I think a lot of people forget to do. And that involves healing, gratitude, and teaching others. So once you start acting out what it is you're actualizing, once you start working that, then it becomes more and more ingrained in you. So those are the seven steps that I have put together for that. What do you think?
I think they're fabulous. I'm stuck at number one.
Okay. That one is not as tough as you think. Okay. Number one, I have with the Stability Self-Esteem Blessed Herbal Candle. That's your backup. That's your all the candles, or whether you use the Coventry candles, which of course I prefer, or other products. Maybe it's your own candles that you make, or even oils or incense.
Mm-hmm.
The stability and self-esteem, you want something to help you through this. You want something that's going to hold that space or show you how to get there or put you in the midst of that vibration so you can make that change. Sometimes it's really hard. I look at it as the roadmap. If you don't know how to get to your friend's house out in the sticks, you can't get there. You know, if you try and if you don't have the directions for it. So this is kind of like a little bit of that roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Stability and Self-Esteem Blessed Herbal Candle is the one I would use for that. Because when you live in the past and you define yourself by your mistakes, it makes it impossible to move forward. But also when you live in the future and say, well, my life will begin when I do X, Y, and Z, you never have permission to be who you are today. And this is step one. You got to get comfortable in the here and now.
I think that this is probably a difficult thing in society at the moment, because we're kind of bred, you know, from the breast or the bottle, that we need to live in the future. You know, it's what job are we going to have? How much money are we going to have? What kind of car are we going to get? You know, what kind of
house do you want to be when you grow up?
Who do you? I think that we're bred that. I don't think that we're necessarily a here and now society. So a lot of times, I think that it's even learning this step one that
there
is an awareness.
Right. There's. I read the Hindu prayer for the body that I found on a website, and I can't remember which one it is. And this prayer put it all in perspective to me, and I'm just going to say it real quick, and I'll put it up online later. Hindu prayer for the body. I recognize you are the temple in which my spirit and creative energy dwell. I have created you from my need to have my spirit manifested on earth so that I may have this time to learn and grow. I offer you this food so that you may continue to sustain my creative energy, my spirit, my soul. I offer this food to you with love and a sincere desire for you to remain free from disease and disharmony. I accept you as my own creation. I need you. I love you. I read that and I went, oh, my God. We are everything we need to be right now.
Mm-hmm.
You are exactly who you need to be right now because of all of your experiences, your fears, your yearnings, your agendas, your desire to love and to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You are exactly who you need to be right now, and you have done yourself some big favors. You have gotten through a lot of stuff, and you're still kicking. And so you love that about yourself. You love today's person because you are amazing. So the thing that I have you do with the stability and self-esteem candle is, first of all, you light it, and you get really comfortable. Sit comfortably. I'm not talking about sit in meditation or anything like that. I mean, literally get really comfortable because this is about being comfortable in who you are. And you write out every good thing you have heard about yourself. And you write out every good thing you think about yourself. It's only the good stuff.
I will tell you, I recently had that, which, you know, because I talked to you about it.
Mm-hmm.
I recently had that particular activity with my therapist. And it was,
mm-hmm.
you know, I called you, Jackie. I was like, I don't even know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
It is very, very difficult oftentimes to get into the here and now, but very rewarding once you do. I can say that although I have not perfected step one, I'm on the road.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know what? Flip the page over once you write all that stuff about all the good things you've heard about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now write out what you fear about those good things.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you afraid of those good things? Because it's that those fears, which is the Satan.
Yeah.
That's where you sabotage. It's those fears that stop you from reveling in it. And it's okay to look in the mirror and say, I'm awesome. I'm gorgeous. It's great. I mean, I started doing this in the morning when I'm putting on my makeup, and I go, you look great. And I have to say, because I was saying for so long, it'll do, it's good enough, and it changes the way my day goes. You look great, and guess what? I probably go change my clothes to look even better. I've done that to myself. Like I, it's a little ritual. Even if I'm just putting on eyeliner and mascara, it's not that the makeup makes me feel pretty. The makeup makes me look in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And the days where there was this one day I just was feeling so down on myself, I had my yoga pants and a T-shirt on. I refuse to go out in just T-shirts because I feel like a schlepprock when I do that. I don't feel pretty and confident and other stuff. And I said, just go put on some mascara.
Just be happy you're not a dude.
Yeah. So I just went and put on some mascara, and I go, look, you're gorgeous. And then I got out of the bathroom and I changed my clothes. Because I was acting depressed, and I was acting like a schlepprock, and I wasn't loving myself. So just love who you are today, because you're amazing, and you've gotten through so many things, and you have to thank yourself for being there for you.
Definitely.
And then, you know, I'm going to go through this a little bit faster. Number one, and we'll do this in other shows too. I think we'll hit on different ones, but the letting go of limiting beliefs, forgiving your past mistakes. Your mistakes are little reminders that you're always learning and you're not perfect. And they are, like you use the Satan to trick you into growing, your mistakes are the catalyst and the inspiration to clear the blocks you're experiencing. And, you know, and in business they say make your mistakes early so they cost you less. Make your mistakes in the planning stage so, you know, you don't give up the whole boat.
Exactly.
And so, again, mistakes are critical to know what you don't want. I mean, when you have the world at your feet, you don't know what you want to do, you know. Do I like dogs or cats? I don't know. You know? So you make a mistake, and maybe you get the most yippy dog in the kennel because he's cute, and then you come home and you go, oh, that's why he's yippy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay that you forgive yourself of those mistakes, and sometimes it's there's so many that they can be. And then for that, step two is lighting the heart candle, which is the forgiveness candle, and it's kind of tough. You know, this step is a little tough, forgiving yourself, because we go, okay, yeah, I forgive myself, but you got to really do that. And what you need to do is you light that heart candle and you get in a room by yourself and you go to True Confessions out loud. You confess to the candle, which is confessing to yourself and confessing to the divine what you did wrong, the mistakes that you made. And then, and you're going to need to do this for several days, and get, you might only get through one at a time, but you're going to do step two and step three kind of at the same time. As you confess, do true confessions to the candle and get it all out, and start forgiving yourself and say, and then you also have to tell yourself, I understand. I understand why you made that mistake, and I forgive you for it. And I forgive you for it because I know you're not going to do the same thing again because you've learned this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you immediately go into step three, which is clearing negative patterns, cleansing them. Because to me, it's like the step two is like scraping up all the crud.
Yeah.
And step three is sweeping it away.
And these two together remind me a lot of, and I'm sure that Beth will agree, number two and number three reminds me of the Kabbalistic teshuvah, which is recognizing where it is that you have done wrong and make an agreement that you're not going to live that way or behave that way anymore.
And so these two candles, the heart, which is one that puts you in a place of forgiveness, and then the spiritual cleansing candle, which puts you in a place of releasing it, letting go. We cleanse all these soul parts from us when we do healings. This is kind of the same thing, or those, the other energies that don't belong to us. So what you do is, after you've done the true confessions and forgiven yourself, you take that unlit spiritual cleansing candle and you just run it over your entire aura from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head, front, back, side. As you say, I clear myself of the negative patterns that were born from those fears and beliefs that I have forgiven. And then you do that. I usually do three times. And then you put it in the candle holder and you light it, and then let it burn for a couple hours. Let it really burn. So then, and then you put it out and put out the heart candle at the same time. And then the next day you do it again. And you do it again until they're all gone. And then you move on to step four. And step four, which is the most fun out of all of them, okay, except for seven when it actually happens, you write your own ticket. And one of the ways I do this is I put myself in a place and I ask to be connected to a time in my life where this has manifested. And I ask what it feels like. Because until you read the book, you don't know what the ending is going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of skips you forward to the ending. And I've done this on a couple of things. It's kind of what the athletes do. They visualize themselves being there. So really what they're doing is they're energetically connecting themselves to the person who has gotten this together, who feels great about what they've done.
And we call that in Kabbalah connecting to your Tzaddik. The Tzaddik is your perfected self.
God, I'm good. Look at what I'm doing. I'm just Kabbalah.
She's never even picked up a Kabbalah book, you know.
So, for this step, I use the Vision Quest candle. And you get to your sacred space. You sit comfortably. You have a pen and paper with you, and you light the Vision Quest candle, and then you visualize. You let yourself relax into a vision of yourself in perfect balance, free of the sabotage you're currently experiencing. I did this with some pains in my foot. And I said, take me to a time when past or future that I did not have this pain. And I brought that energy to me right now today. And I didn't have the pain in my feet anymore. It is a healing technique, is to go to finding your healthy self and then bringing that vibration to you now. And you know what? This is not a one-time deal, my friends. You need to do this over and over again until that reality, that new balance, that person who lives without sabotage on this particular subject, that memory, that muscle memory, that energetic memory needs to be stronger than the one you're experiencing now. So you paint the picture in your mind of what it's like, you bring that to you, and you write down your observations because you want to compare that later. And you do this every day for like a week. So there we are. That's number four.
That's really, really good, because like I said, it is the ability with your Zadik is that you have the ability to draw on the particular energy of your perfected self.
Okay. Yeah, it is, because that's that higher self. That's I love this concept. Patty and I were doing it in healing. She's the one who taught me this, and we're doing it in healing sessions, and it worked. I the relief I felt in doing that, and I've done that a couple of times when I'm even in crisis at Coventry, when I have been in crisis here, financial crisis, I took myself to a time when we felt great, when we had money coming in, and I did this on Monday. I said, you know what? We've experienced this before, and we've experienced an immediate shift in the energy out of nowhere, out of seemingly nowhere, but it was based on the work that we had done. And we will experience it again. I remember it, and I know it. And that was, guess what's happening this week? That exact thing. So to recap, number four was writing your own ticket, and you used the Vision Quest candle. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to take us to break, play another song for us as we digest 1 through 4, and then we'll do 5, 6, and 7 on the other side of the break.
Great.
So we will be back. Feel free to give us a call at 760-539-3235 if you want to weigh in on this or ask some questions or get some advice from Storm and myself. Do not touch that dial, because we have got so much more to go.
Every piece.
are back live. Pick up the phone and give us a call at 760-539-3235. If you have enjoyed the show, please hit the like button at the top of the page if you are on Blog Talk Radio. Now, if you want more of this show, if you want to listen to it over and over again because these seven steps are intriguing you and you know you're going to do them, go to iTunes and search on Keep It Magic, and you can download it onto your iTunes. Hit the podcast button, subscribe, and then they'll just show up all the time. Also, this show is made possible by your patronage to our sponsor. Check out CoventryCreations.com, where magic always happens, and it's been happening for 20 years. All these candles that we talk about on the show are also available through CoventryCreations.com. And you can also get the show by going to KeepItMagic.com, and you can download and listen to those shows at any time. So here we are. We're talking about some big stuff here, my friend.
Yes, we are.
And we talked about steps 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the seven steps to...
I almost feel like we're going through the plagues. The Egyptian plagues here. We may have to do a candle line for that. You may end up with some 12 steps coming up.
Yeah, you know. Well, you know, I have to say, for many years of my life, I was connected to a 12-step program. So, you know, I learned a lot. I learned a lot from those 12 steps, and they did the kind of ingrained in my brain part of it. So, and I'm a Virgo. I like steps. I like numerical order. So, and speaking of numerical order, number 5, step 5 is clearing your path, moving forward into manifesting your ideal. And this is something that you're going to have to do periodically throughout this process as you make these changes, as you dedicating a week to that or several days to this will work, and it'll be brilliant, and you'll be focused on it. But as you go through, because you're going to find you do these 7 steps on and off throughout your life as you get to know them. And so clearing your path is something that you can do periodically, because when you change, sometimes it takes the rest of the world to catch up to that change.
Mm-hmm.
They change with you, and sometimes they do it a little more reluctantly. So,
I've noticed this a lot, and I think that it is often, Jackie, one of the things that prohibits people often from even going from step 1 and step 2, is that oftentimes whenever you make some form of fundamental change in regards to your life, it throws everybody around you into such a disarray that it can get you easily back on that old path again.
When you say you're a dieting or a vegan or gluten-free or whatever, you know what the first thing people do? They tell you why that's stupid, why you shouldn't do it, because it immediately threatens them. Like, if you told somebody you were going, if you were becoming celibate, they would look at you with terror in their eyes, because it makes them really uncomfortable, because they immediately judge themselves by your change. Should I change too? Is this something
there's
that I...
There's nothing wrong with asexuality.
No, there's nothing wrong with it, but it does threaten people.
Yes, it does.
And or if you say, well, Kim, I've decided that I am going to run every day, and they immediately tell you why that's bad for your knees.
Yeah.
So, or where you should run. I don't know how many times I said, well, even my husband does this to me every now and again. I bought 10-minute trainer.
Yeah.
I'm going to start doing it. And I have been doing it, and I tell people I'm doing it, and we talk about it, and they go, well, you know what? You know what you should really do? You know what's better? Or you know what I'm doing? And so they challenge you, because what if... they want you to be on their level. So you're going to stumble along the way. You're going to stumble with other people's expectations, and you're going to stumble with your own, because you're going to find your fears are going to find a way to manifest.
I think that there's that separatist mentality that exists, period. For example, if you say to somebody that you try to eat as many whole foods as you possibly can, do you know what the immediate knee-jerk reaction is?
Hmm.
That's so expensive.
Exactly. It's a lot cheaper than paying doctor bills.
Yeah, it's a lot cheaper than, yeah. Beth will go nuts here in a minute. So.
Or it's cheaper than having to go to your healer all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, it's at what price? I mean, you just spent $150 on the best shoes, you know, so why would, you know, anyway.
It amazes me that there are people that are more than willing to drop $400 on a cell phone, but they're not willing to drop $400 on healthy foods.
That's a big discussion that I had with myself in November, and I changed what I was buying. But there's an old Chinese saying that says, if you get up one more time than you fall, you will be successful. And that's kind of what, that moving yourself forward. There's a lot of times that I've watched people have the business plan, get the funding, and never open the business. I'm in the downtown Ferndale area, and there are a couple of different stores that have been in process of opening for more than 6 months.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it makes me go, what's going on here? You just move forward. Sometimes go ahead and in moving forward into your goal and moving away from sabotage, you're going to make a misstep, but it's the movement that counts.
Yeah.
So what I do is I use the Needed Changes Blessed Herbal Candle because I need to change what's going on here. I want to clear the path, and I light the candle. And I list all the things that seem to be standing in my way that are outside of my control. If it's inside of my control, then I'm going to go back to 2 and 3 because it's something that's a limiting belief in a negative pattern.
Mm-hmm.
But, for instance, you know, put down the Twinkie. You know, that kind of stop buying Hershey's Kisses kind of thing. That's a sabotaging behavior that you can control. But sometimes what you can't control is that your work changed your hours, and now you need to be there at 7 in the morning, and you only have enough time to, like, get up, get your kid to school, et cetera, et cetera. And so that interferes with you going out, and the grocery store closes early, you know, so that interferes with you getting the right food and being able to spend time more energetically. That is a block that could be in your path. And so you write it down, and then now it's time to start looking at it in a different way. And you might need to take these one at a time. So you just look at it in a different way and just go into fantasy land. What kind of weirdness can I change to make this happen? You know, if I had a personal chef who would drop off food, blah, blah, blah. And then you just go fantasy land with it. And when you go full circle, all of a sudden you figure out, you know what? There's an organic store around me that has full dinners already cooked, ready to go. Or all I have to do is cook them. So go in fantasy land and then see where it brings you and brings you to new solutions. And sometimes it brings you to solutions that are difficult to deal with. Sometimes it brings you to a solution to say, that person is really toxic in my life and I need to make sure I don't go out to dinner with them because they will order a food that's a trigger for me just to be annoying. Which, I know him.
And what trigger foods are those?
Everyone has their own trigger foods.
Mm-hmm.
I know what mine are. I love creamy stuff. I love things. I love dairy, and I love fried food. So, you know, give me some cheese sticks and dipped in ranch. I'm happy.
Oh.
But I also know I had to get honest with myself and say, Jackie, you have a sugar addiction. So I had to get on because I have my good food. I'll have a great, tasty, healthy meal, you know, beyond the salad. And I'll start walking around my house going, I need something sweet. Just literally just like that. And I'll say, okay, you now have a problem. You're willing to put your coat on in 20-degree weather to find
to get a Twinkie.
Right. Which I hate those. That is not a trigger food for me. But yeah, sugar is another trigger for me. So, you know, just number 5 is people will step in your way. And they're a version of your own sabotage because you allow them to be in your life. So if you're dieting, if you're changing your food behavior and you want to go have pizza, you're going to go hang out with your buddy that's all he eats. You know, if you want somebody to tell you that you're awesome and that they're going to support whatever destructive behavior that you have, you're going to call them on the phone and tell them the story because you already know what their answer is going to be. We do this to ourselves all the time. You know, we take a poll, should I be this way? And so we'll call the people who will support the decision we really want. So the number six is being open to receive. Step six, emptying out all the fear and filling it with your ideal. And this all involves your heart chakra. And this is a tough one. This one, I want you to cry or get angry. Because in your heart, you filled it with disappointment and frustration and hurt. And that can halt your progress because that's where we kind of shove them when we don't want to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to open your heart to receive stuff. You absolutely have to do that if you're closed to it. And opening, it just really, that heart center is really where it counts. And if you're closed, you're closed to anything new coming into your life. So go ahead, open it up, and then shake out the crap. So, and I use the Inner Balance candle for that, Inner Balance Blessed Herbal Candle. So you light your
smells
candle.
Smells amazing.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, I love that one.
So when you've lit your candle and you're in a comfortable place and you can focus on your heart and visualize it opening up like a flower, you start looking for that pain tucked into the corners. And little stories will come to your mind, things that you remember from when you were a kid, different things that you will remember, and let them come out and get mad. Go ahead and get mad at it or cry about it or yell and cuss, whatever it is you need to do to help it come out.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Inner Balance candle is going to do is as it comes out, maybe you need a little music to help you get into the mood to cry. As it starts to come out, then start filling yourself with this new ideal. Just fill it. Then go back to that visualization of that ideal self, that healthy self, or whatever it is that you're going for. Fill your heart with that balanced self, healthy person, and all those things you're working on manifesting. So let it go in anger and tears and frustration. Let those emotions are really important. The reason why we have them, and as the way I see it in the spiritual world, is so we can express them and get this stuff out.
Yeah.
And so often we have to stifle. We have to stymie and stuff it all in S's. So when you get that out and then you refill that. And you keep doing this until you don't have any more tears, until you're not crying anymore over it or you're not mad about it anymore. You just keep doing it. And it kind of seems like a repeat of steps two and three. But this is that final little stuff because I find that, you know, being open to receive and you work on that, every time I work with somebody, we find another bunch of junk there. So just do this last step and really feel it. And then number seven is actualizing it. And I didn't have the seventh step for a long time. I thought, you know, you're open to receive and it just shows up. No. You need one more thing. Because this is where I got stuck a bunch of times. You actualize it. You start doing it. It's very similar to step five, moving forward. But this is, you start just bringing it. And the way you do that sometimes, especially in this getting out of that self-sabotage, is you share it with others, which is exactly what you said in the Kabbalah.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start sharing this with others, whether it's random acts of kindness, or it's donating to charity, or it's helping another person through their hard time, as soon as you start spreading it, spreading this new balance, this new healthy self, not by preaching. The minute you start preaching and preaching about it, you now, I watch it, you now then are afraid of your own power and you are no longer able to use it. So the creepiness of like, you got to do this. You got to do this. This is the best thing since sliced cheese. You got to do this. The minute you do that, you have just sabotaged yourself again.
That's the Satan.
So random acts of kindness, and this is one thing that I do, and I'm really working on actualizing my magic. The random acts of kindness are things like, oh, you know, when I only have one thing or I have a cart full of things and you only have one thing, go ahead in front of me. Or that you look marvelous. Just telling someone that they're beautiful and meaning it. You know, appreciating the people around you or thanking someone, all of those things. Those are the things that start actualizing your magic because you're now living it. So whatever it is that you're working on manifesting, then now live it. So that's number seven, and that is the inspiration candle because sometimes we don't know how to live it. We need new ideas on how to live it. It might be writing a blog about it, about how it's manifesting in your life. I'm not even going to tell you what exactly you need to do because the inspiration candle will help you find your path on how it is to do. And that, my friend, is the seven steps.
The seven steps.
And it's stuff that I do all the time and you do all the time.
Yeah.
And this is just giving it a name and a title. So if you find that, none of this is brand new. It just kind of gives it an order and helps you understand that this is something you're already doing. So that will be, the whole article is going to be up on Keep It Magic under the Coventry Magic, under the book articles. Just to look for it, and we'll post it on the Keep It Magic Facebook page. And so it'll be up probably either later tonight or tomorrow. So it's not an easy journey, and you are the one who creates your own miracles. You're a miracle worker. So what do you think? Think you can do it?
Oh, yeah. You know, this is, I've worked with seven steps before. I did the seven steps to real friendship, and all my friends left me.
But you know what? I remember that, and I remember the challenge that you had with that. But what was really interesting is that you have more real friends now than you did before.
Exactly.
People who really are your friends have been coming out of the woodwork.
Yes.
And just showing up. And it's been amazing to watch that because I am watching it. I'm watching how many people are just popping back into your life or saying hey or appreciating you. So they weren't your friends. So it really did work because what you did is you cleared that out.
It was hell when it was going on.
It is. You know what? That growth is not easy.
And, you know, it wasn't a situation. You know, what I was doing, Jackie, is I was just going through one of the books that you have available at Coventry. And I said, you know what, and I wasn't even really thinking. It was one of those spontaneous things that you do. You know what, I could probably use some more friends. So, you know, I'll do the seven.
Watch what you ask for. You know how that goes. Watch what you ask for, and I get it.
It was just like, you know, so would you do this?
Yeah.
And then hell breaks loose. You know, it's pretty interesting.
It is interesting, and I always hesitate when I hear that and go, but it's worth it in the long run.
Yeah, and it's probably, you know, the way that the way that my magic seems to manifest is it always seems to manifest in this, it's easy for me to work with magic. So I should be much more careful, you know, before I do some of these things and think about them before I decide, you know, oh, let's just cast this spell because, you know, they look pretty.
Well, that's the Satan. Here's your agenda. But I've done these steps for myself very consciously, and I've done them all in one healing session too, working with one thing in particular.
Yeah.
And just kind of making sure I hit all of them in a healing session, in a meditation, and then I've worked them very consciously in my life, and undoing layer after layer of stuff because, you know, whenever you have a big challenge on, and for some people it's love, some people it's money, but I got to tell you, the things, it's usually about how connected you are to the divine. It does,
mm-hmm.
A lot of times it comes down to that and how many lies you've told yourself. So it does shake things up. It absolutely does shake things up. And And as I was rewriting all this for the show and getting ready for it to go online in an article, it's just like, Jackie, you got to take your own advice again. Do this formally again. So I'm not declaring anything. I just have it in front of me going, that feels really good to do. And I think it's a worthy thing to work on for myself.
Yeah, I'm ordering these particular candles, and I'm probably going to sit with a box and say, okay, which one do you need to work on? I'll be very careful.
Right. So let me go through the candles really quick. I'll just read them off, and I'll read them slowly so you can write them down, you meaning everyone who's listening. You want, and since you'll be doing these, you know, going through this process, go ahead and take a couple of months to do this, because this is a big deal. Self-sabotage is not something you can wiggle your nose at like you're Samantha. The stability, self-esteem, blessed herbal candle is number one. Number two is the heart, blessed herbal candle. Step three is the spiritual cleansing, blessed herbal candle. So go ahead and get those three first. And I would actually add in the Vision Quest, blessed herbal candle for step four. Because once you do one, two, and three, you immediately want to move into step four. So don't wait for that one. Then you want to get step five, which is the Needed Change, Blessed Herbal Candle. Then the Inner Balance, Blessed Herbal Candle for step six. And step seven is the Inspiration, Blessed Herbal Candle. And speaking of inspiration, use all these as inspiration for yourself. If this... that particular candle doesn't feel right for you and what you're going through, pick a different one. It's okay. These are my suggestions. This is what I'm using for myself. So look at it, and if it's something from the Hoodoo line or the Dorothy Morrison Wicked Witch Mojo line or the Witch's Root, whatever it's from, the affirmation instead, go ahead and use that one. I give you permission. And give it to yourself. You know, whenever you're working magic, your... please, 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 whenever you're working magic, use your own inspiration and intuition first. I know that sounded kind of preachy. I'm very sorry. But it's just that's the most asked question I ever get. More than, is he going to call me?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, if I do this wrong...
The next seven steps that we should do, Jackie, is how to get the negative, nasty people out of your life.
Be careful what you wish for.
And don't burn that Get More Friends candle.
I mean, you know, sometimes to get the negative, nasty people out of your life, you have to walk away. So maybe it's maybe we should do the seven steps on the courage to embrace the positive.
Yeah.
That was very PC, or spiritually correct, SC.
Which are my initials.
Yeah. Huh. I don't think you're always spiritually correct, though.
I'm far from perfect.
So, but I have done work with someone who is working on getting rid of their horrible boss. Guess who got the new job? Guess who lost their job and got a new one? Them. Because you can't, you know, when somebody is really ingrained in a certain situation,
mm-hmm.
and their karma is there, and their spiritual agreements to keep them there, you're the one who's going to move. It's like pushing up against an immovable object.
Exactly.
You're going to ricochet yourself back to the other wall. So we did have a question in the chat room saying, "What if you are your own biggest enemy?" That, my friend, white light, is what these seven steps are about.
Yeah.
That's the point. Being your biggest enemy means that you're the one doing your own sabotage. That is everything that we just talked about for the last hour and a half. That's the Satan. And so these steps is exactly what we're talking about. Because it's not, people think that they can come for a reading, come for a healing, burn one candle and be done. So we have to move beyond the BIC. We have to move beyond the lighter and into how are you going to take responsibility for yourself. We are all our own worst enemies. Like Storm said, is that even somebody else who's an enemy to us, we're just reflecting our own Satan into them, and it's true, we're just mirrors to each other. Somebody cannot stand me all day long, but everyone else likes me. I reflect something back to that person who doesn't like me. So the only ones that are our enemies are ourselves.
Exactly.
What do you think? You think that's right?
I agree with you 100%.
100% or 150%?
100%, because there is no 150.
Or only 75%.
That may be tomorrow.
So what's going on for you this upcoming week, Storm?
Basically, I'm just going to be studying more. I've become very, very interested in Bible magic, so we will see where that leads us here in the future. But we have a lot of really interesting shows that are going to be coming up. We have next week, Money, Money, Money with Dorothy Morrison. So Dorothy will be on with us next week.
Mm-hmm.
The week after that, we will be talking about In Bulk with Lorian from Sacred Myth. And then on the 31st, we have How to Remove Your Karma of Prosperity, or your debt. It's going to be about debt, getting rid of debt. So we may even have a new 7 steps on that particular show in regards to working with money and finances and getting things going that way. Also, the whole month of February is Dorothy Morrison month at Coventry Creations, and Dorothy Morrison
She'll be on the show with us.
She will be on the show with us the whole month. So, and we're going to be talking about love the whole month. The whole month. It's all going to be love.
Uh-huh.
And relationships. Okay. Love. Sex. I'm getting a little heated up here.
I'm not playing Enrique.
You
anymore.
Played Enrique and Pitbull earlier. You know, I needed two dishes. before we go, Ellen in the chat room is saying, there is a local woman who hates me, and I had no idea. How does that fit in? Does it matter? I said, do you really care that she hates you? You know, that is...
there are some people who are just not going to like you, because you reflect back to them something they don't like about themselves.
Yeah.
And so you just, you know... There's a lot of people who don't like me, and I don't understand why. I am so likable.
You are?
Are you surprised? Is that's only the 25% agreement, isn't it?
That's the 25% agreement. No, I think that you're absolutely adorable, so.
I've got those, and I can't, why would I put my energy in somebody who doesn't like me?
Because it's human.
Because it's human, right. But it's just kind of a realization that I still go there. I mean, there's this one, I have a friend that we broke up years ago, and I still think about her. You know, I still really think about her, and I want to mend fences with her, and I throw out the little fishing line every now and again, and I get a little nibble every now and again, but that's about it. And it's just because we do not like being the bad guy. I do not like being the one at fault or the one who's not. So I'm going to thank everyone for joining us this afternoon, and you can listen to us live every single Tuesday at 4 p.m. on the East Coast, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, and every hour in between. To reach Storm off the air, go to psychicfriendsnow.com or find his fan page on Facebook under Astro Gossip. To reach me off the air, go to CoventryCreations.com, and you can find my page on Facebook under Jackie with an I Smith, Coventry Creations, or Keeping It Magic. And feel free to go to KeepItMagic.com. We've got tons of articles and lots of information and stuff for you to look at. So we are constantly adding new content with some of the hottest metaphysical authors in the whole wide world. Thank you for listening, and have a great week. And what do they got to do, Storm?
Keep it magic.
When I walk on by, girls be looking like they be fly. I pimp to the beat, walking down the street and my new the freak. Yeah, this is how I roll. Animal print pants out of control. It's Red Bull with the big ass bra, and like Bruce Lee, I got the clout. Yeah.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
I work out.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
I work out when I walk in the spot. This is what I see. Everybody stops and staring at me. I got passion in my pants and I ain't afraid to show it. Show it, show it, show it.
I'm sexy and I know it. I'm sexy and I know it.
Yeah, when I'm at the mall, security just stand by the mall. And when I'm at the beach, I'm in the speedo trying to tan my cheeks. This is how I roll. Come on, ladies, it's time to go. We headed to the bar, baby, don't be nervous. No shoes, no shirt, and I still get service. Watch.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
I work out.
Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body.
I work out when I walk in the spot. This is what I see. Everybody stops and staring at me. I got passion in my pants and I ain't afraid to show it. Show it, show it, show it.
I'm sexy and I know it.
Aye.
I'm sexy and I know it.